Good morning. How many of you ever watched Olympics watch somebody who skis, somebody who does the jumps, or how about the synchronized swimming, which is kind of a weird thing, but it's pretty neat how people are all together on that. Let's do a little experiment here. We're going to do some congregational synchronized sitting. Okay. So how about if everybody just point their hand to the right? Okay, we're all together. Now let's just take that hand and go left. Okay, straight up, down. That's kind of cool, isn't it? We're all doing these things together. It's like, okay, it's kind of like we could, I'm not going to make you do this, but we could have even a congregational wave, People get excited about, hey, that preacher's really on target today. Let's do a wave. Hallelujah. Right? Kind of cool, when you see things that work the way that they're supposed to, and the flow and the movement. Music is like that. When somebody puts together a song and writes those notes and puts the chords and everything together, when it's all put together, it sounds absolutely amazing that somebody would have the gift to be able to have the tools to do that. One of the things that I like to do, and I haven't really been able to do it since I moved here, is that I'm a big model train person. Anybody else model trains? Really? Wow. Okay. At my last parish, this was before I met Judy, actually. I had the basement to myself, and so I had like four or five 4x8 tables downstairs filled with train stuff, and all that stuff takes wiring. And I had the little houses where the conductor would come out of the house when the train would go by, and the lights that would go on and off, and the gates that would come down, and I had individual houses that would light up, and there was a lumber mill that when you got the lumber car next to it, it would dump the lumber into the mill, and it'd go up this ramp and then drop back down into the train. Little milk truck that our milk car where the guy would push the milk cans out onto the station. All that stuff, and it was fun. Switches that would work automatically and would block, certain sections so that I could run multiple trains at one time. And of course, if that didn't work right, you could have a real mess, right? So you had to wire everything just right. And every once in a while, a wire would get loose or something would happen, and it would take me forever to find what the reason is, because if you look underneath the table, there were wires going all kinds of different directions, When it worked, it was wonderful, and when it didn't, it was a real pain in the butt. And in a way, it's the whole thing with the business with the wall, and I'm not going to get into politics here, but just understand this, because there is a sense of, we get this idea that, only certain people were affected by that, but in reality, there was a wave. It was like the electrical current, and it was short-circuiting, because not only was it just the 800,000 people who weren't getting paid, but it was everybody that was impacted by that, the contractors, the businesses where these people did their shopping, the restaurants where they would go out to eat, the services that they provided for other people, and the frustration for those of you who went traveling and couldn't go see one of the national parks or a museum or whatever that may have been closed. There was a whole system of short circuits that were going on at that time. And that's when we don't work well together. That there are misunderstandings, and that there are, at times, disagreements and arguments. And what we fail to do when we're in the middle of that is that we sometimes don't recognize how that short-circuiting hurt people. It happens in our communities. It happens in our homes. It's interesting, it's not by any accident that the hymns that you sing today have a lot to do with about what we speak of in Scripture. We are intentional about those plans. So our opening song was about building a house that would allow for these things to happen, because we are anchored and based in the love of Christ. Our opening, our gospel reading for this day is Luke's way. At the very beginning of the gospel, we hear about how Jesus goes into the synagogue, he sits down, and he reads from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And what is he to do? To bring good news. to free the captive, to help the blind to see, to bring good news to the world. Jesus is telling us exactly what his layout of his plan is going to be. And even though there are those who would like to, you know, snip the wires, cut these things so that doesn't happen, it does, because Jesus is Jesus. He does what he needs to do. And so here we are today because of what Christ proclaimed. And we are all beneficiaries of God's love and compassion and forgiveness. But sometimes the short circuit comes when it's translated from our lives to others. We sometimes have selective memories or something's not firing right in the brain where we can somehow justify that it's okay to love these people here but not these people over here. Or we begin to make differences and we make, you know, we'll say, well, because this is how this is, and we kind of try to rationalize our understanding when Jesus is quite plain. He's quite simple in his explanation. You know, to love God with all your heart and soul and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. And we have done everything possible that we can to try to twist that around so that it kind of fits our modus operandi instead of us fitting into how God expects us to live. Even in our family here at St. Luke's, if we're not careful and we don't keep our sights on what Jesus speaks of this day, we get easily lost. We try to start that congregational wave and somewhere it gets interrupted and the rest don't get the message. Or somewhere, somehow, we fail to see what it is that is being pulled together as a whole, but instead each of us have our own ideas as to how that should happen. Now that's natural in any human community. We all have our ideas. And there are all things that we want to make sure and we try to make what is best for our community, but sometimes we allow for our own personal agendas to kind of disrupt that understanding of that we are the people of God. Instead of understanding this is what Christ's mission is, it becomes Pastor Dave's mission. And I would hope that if that ever got to that point, you would be smart enough to say, this isn't what we're about. Pastor Dave, it's not about you. And so how do we do that? We do that in how you're going to, you know, all these things that we're going to learn about in a few minutes after this service. Hopefully you picked up that annual report and you looked at it and you saw all the different things that are happening in this congregation. And it's not just one person who does that. You know, you think about the number of people that just in those occasions, those things that are mentioned here, let alone those things that are not, the individual things that you do because you are called by Christ to reach out into the world, those things most likely aren't in there. But that doesn't make it any less important. And the way that this works in our community is that you have a staff, and you have a council. You have a whole lot of people who are volunteers. The council is a group of volunteers, as well as those who are members of the teams, as well as those of you who get yourself involved in ministries. Whether it's working with Northview students or getting excited about the Family Promise, which is coming up. All those things take coordination and happen not because of just one person. It's all of us as a team. And one of us decides that, well, no, we don't want to do that, and we take that mantle up on our own, we can cause all kinds of disruption that can just wreak havoc on the rest of the community. There are times, and in any congregation, there are moments and times when we have these ideas or understandings that things aren't the way that they should be, or we don't really try to find out what's happening. You know, ever since 3.5 years ago, or however long it's been since I've been here, one of my big things has been, if you have an issue with something, come and talk with me, or talk to the staff member, or talk to the individual that you are concerned about instead of going a roundabout way so that it comes back on third hand. Do you have any idea how much time that takes for the individuals who are kind of caught in the middle of that? It's important that we understand that we have a respect and love for each other. That's who we are. And that as a community, we need to trust each other. We need to trust the leadership. And when that starts to fall apart, then we as a community become stuck. We start to unwind, and we start seeing that everybody's going in different ways with their hands and their arms and everything else, and it makes no sense as to what we're doing. And so when we hear this passage from Paul, he saw what was going on in the communities where there were those who were saying that, you know, what they had to offer was more important than those over here, and that, you know, to speak in tongues was much more important than somebody who had the gift to teach. And no, it doesn't work that way. Each of us have gifts that are important to the way in which this community lives. And when the church is in sync, when everything and all the wires are connected in the different directions that they need to be, and all the signals are going the way that they should, and things are running in the way it should, it's an amazing thing. When all of a sudden you see 5 million Lutherans who are able to agree on perhaps a mission as far as to feed the hungry or to try to alleviate the struggles in poverty or the issues that we have in immigration, it's an amazing thing how Christ puts us together. But the moment we turn our eyes from the cross, or the moment that we fail to see how Jesus is involved in our relationships, short circuits what it is that we are to do. I would hope that when we gather together today, that you see how Christ has been at work in this community where it's 36 years of ministry. You're continuing a legacy that began with some dreams and some understanding, and you watched as this church grew, and not only physically, but not only in numbers, but also spiritually, as we strive to deepen our understanding and our relationship with God. That it just doesn't come automatically, but that we are encouraged and strive to read Scripture and to pray and to worship and celebrate with one another and to cry with each other when there is sorrow and hurt and pain. That we pick up and we help each other in the moment of crises. And so you have individuals of this church who do that on their own, or they do it as Stephen ministers, or they do it as communion assistants. They do it in so many different ways. There is joy in service. There's joy in the love of God. And today in our gospel reading, it's a good way of reminding us what it is that we're all about. Jesus is telling us today that this is what his ministry is all about. And we know that because we have witnessed and we've heard his story over and over again that leads us ultimately to the cross and then to the resurrection. And the celebration of new life and the promise for his people that we don't have to despair with what's going to happen to us, but that God loves us so much that we have a place to be when our life comes to an end. So how's our wiring? How are our bones? Are they working properly? Yeah, sure. You know, as the body gets older and I find that my knee locks up or one of my fingers doesn't work as well as it used to, and it reminds me that it's like, I'm getting older. But I know that there's other people who can do things that maybe I used to do. And maybe they need to step in and do those things. And I take up something else because God leads me to where I need to be, just as he does with you. We are all one body in Christ. And when we come together Sunday mornings or for annual meeting, the one who always is present is Christ. And may our thoughts and minds and our hearts be pointed towards that in all that we say and do, even in the middle of anger, in the middle of not knowing for sure what we should be doing, but to also trust that God, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, is leading us to bring the good news to the rest of the world. Thanks be to God for the gift of his Son, for the head of the household, for the one who makes us be able to work together so that his love may be proclaimed to the rest of the world. Amen.